Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Let's go right to Erie County District Attorney John Flynn joining us now on the line. John, I know it's been a very hectic, busy weekend for you. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Absolutely, Brian.
I wanted to start with what Susan mentioned there. You mentioned arrests of people from outside the Buffalo area. That was the big fear before. We heard the mayor say that and many other people. Can you share exactly of the arrests were made, if there were arrests made from people outside of Western New York?
Well, I don't have the details on anyone who was arrested last night. I know there's about six or seven who were arrested last night for various things, but I don't have the paperwork in front of me yet for the ones that were arrested last night. But I can tell you, from those that were arrested on Saturday night, all of them were from the Western New York area. I think that what the mayor and the county executive were alluding to when they were talking about, you know, out-of-town agitators were some of the individuals who may have been organizing and or stirring up the pot. There were a lot of social media communications and a lot of other intelligence through talking to people and going on various websites and reviewing matters that indicated that there were some of these outside groups from large national organizations, not just here in Buffalo but across the country, that were attaching themselves to the peaceful protests and the true movement of what needs to be talked about and needs to be done in this country. They were latching on to that to incite agitation. So while the individuals that were actually arrested on Saturday night were, the overwhelming majority from the Western New York area, it's kind of the outside agitators that law enforcement is also looking at.
John, what about the racial makeup of those that were arrested that you know of so far?
Yes, well, Susan, on Saturday night, 7 of the 10 were white. So the overwhelming majority of the of those that were arrested on Saturday night, were not African American. And I'm not sitting here and saying that that only white people were agitating. That's obviously not true, okay? But what I'm saying is that what you saw on Saturday night was a peaceful protest at first, and the peaceful protest that occurred in the city of Buffalo, consisted of a lot of African Americans who were expressing their frustration, and they were peaceful, they were calm, they were professional, and then they went home. Just like across the country that I've seen from various news reports and various outlets that I've been kind of following here, you have agitators that, again, latch on to situations that have nothing to do with the underlying message or problem that we need to face.
To that point, do you think that there is this need to simplify things that we have, and whether it's reporting or just even thinking about what happened in Buffalo over the weekend? We hear people say it's only people from out of state coming in inciting violence. It's only protesters. It's only, anarchists who are doing this. And watching the videos of what's happening, I'm thinking of the looting in University Plaza that took place. These are kind of kids. It's much different than the people who were setting fires in Niagara Square, much different than people who were protesting in other areas of the city. We can't really simplify and pin, you know, an entire movement on one group of people.
No doubt about that, Brian. There are pockets that develop in many situations in life where you have an underlining movement, you have an underlining message that is trying to get out there, and then other groups of people latch on to that message, and then they distort it. So while you cannot simplify what occurred here in Buffalo, or you can't simplify what's occurring nationwide, you can try to simplify it, I think, in this regard, where let's simplify this by talking about the one word, accountability. So, you know, it's a double-sided coin here. All right, you know, the protesters are asking for, and rightly so, accountability from me as a DA, accountability from law enforcement officers when someone does something wrong, and then me as a DA across the country don't charge that officer. All right, so that's accountability on one end. Now the other side of the coin is that those who do latch on here and are agitators and are not part of the message and are not peaceful, okay, well, they got to be held accountable too for their actions. You know, the looters, the ones who are inciting riots. So, you know, while I totally agree with you, Brian, that you can't simplify what's going on out there, I do think that you can simplify the message. And the message simplified is accountability.
I mean, John, I think there's a fine line here, right? Protesters have every right to do what they're doing. But at the same time, were people taking advantage of a situation?
Oh, totally. There's no doubt about that. That's happened, obviously, all across the country. What you see on TV now. Again, thank God it hasn't come to fruition here in Buffalo as it has in other cities across the country. But Susan, there's no doubt about that. It happens at a Bills game, Susan. It happens everywhere. Okay, where you have a situation where something occurs, and then fans walk by and jump into the situation and jump into the middle of something that they have no business doing. All right, I mean it doesn't just happen in protests. It happens in all kind of situations in life. But clearly, it happens in protests where individuals like I said have no clue as to what the underlying message is, and then just you know, jump on the bandwagon and become agitators.
You know, John, and what you mentioned in accountability, your role as district attorney, there's a lot of this greater conversation that falls on the shoulders of prosecutors, including you and a lot of the people who hold your position all around the country. How heavy have you taken that over the past few days?
Well, I take it very seriously, Brian. I've taken it seriously for the past, you know, 3.5 years that I've been in office here. I've had to prosecute 5 police officers, Brian. I've filed charges over the course of the past 3 years on 5 separate police officers who have in my opinion, done a criminal act, and it's not easy, and it's the last thing that I want to do because, again, you know, we're on the same team here, and for me to prosecute one of my teammates is very disheartening. And I had to, unfortunately, you know, do the same thing in the military, you know, where, you know, in my 20 years as a JAG officer in the military, you know, I had to punish fellow military members who violated the UCMJ. And again, that's the last thing that any military JAG officer wants to do, is prosecute one of their soldiers or one of their Marines or one of their sailors. But you got to do the right thing, Brian. And again, you know, we as DAs across the country, you know, we're the chief law enforcement officer in the local area. I mean, the bottom line here is that all of this, what you're seeing across the country, falls on our shoulders. We as local DAs have to hold people accountable for their actions. And again, you know, we can get out there and say all we want about how, you know, how awful this is and how outrageous it is. And, you know, let's get together and meet, you know, and have unity, all right? All that's well and good, all right? And again, I've seen over the course of the past three and a half years here, the great work that the Buffalo Police Department has done as far as their community policing and having picnics and being involved on the East Side and getting out in the community and building that trust. All of that is great, but all of that goes away in 1 second if you don't do your job and you don't do the right thing when push comes to shove. And that's what we got to remember here.
You know, John, all of these events this weekend bring up bail reform that was enacted at the start of this year. It's kind of all back at the forefront right now. What is the difference? If this was held in December, would you have had more of those who were arrested staying in jail overnight?
Most likely, yeah, most likely, Susan. There, you know, the new bail reform statutes have taken discretion out of the hands of our judges. By the way, Susan, out of our elected judges, all right? So, I mean, you know, the judges are a co-equal third branch of government here in this country. And, you know, they deserve to be able to use discretion. And quite frankly, the new bail statutes, well, which I'm saying, again, I've told you before, I'm all for criminal justice reform. You know, I'm all for bail reform, all right? But they, again, in my opinion, went too far. And they took discretion away from judges. And now, you know, it's black and white. There, you know, there's a list, you know, and if the crime is not on that list, the judge has to let him go. And again, life is not black and white. You know, there are gray areas in life, and judges need that discretion, and I think they should get it. And unfortunately, when the statute was amended and modified this April, they made some positive changes, you know, which I agree with, but they didn't go far enough.
Yeah, John, going back to the discussion on your role as a district attorney and the weight that kind of falls on the shoulders of people in your position, and that includes the person in your position over in Minneapolis, how is it a difficult situation to answer that need, that call for justice that people have, when also still having to have your ducks in a row, so to speak? You know, thinking of, we know the officer in question was charged, but now thinking of the other three officers who were standing by that people want to see charges filed against. How long can that process take to be done correctly? And is there a way for somebody in your role as a district attorney to walk the public through without, you know, tipping your hand too much? This is what we have to look at before we can officially make these charges.
Sure, you have to communicate, Brian. You have to communicate with the public and, you know, explain to them exactly, you know what is going on. Again, in a general sense, without having to talk about evidence. I mean, again, you know, there's no problem with talking about evidence per se. All right. I mean, I get a ton of questions every day from the media about, you know, about different pieces of evidence in certain cases. You know, and I don't have any problem talking about that, but the problem is that when you're doing an investigation, you know, you don't want to tip people off as far as those who are the suspects of the investigation. Now, again, when there's video out there, then obviously everyone knows who the targets of an investigation are and who the suspects are. So it's a little different when you have video. You sit here. You have to review the video. You have to talk to the witnesses. You have to do all the things that you have to do to make sure your I's are dotted and T's are crossed. Because, again, the worst case scenario for me is that you make a rush the judgment and arrest someone just because of public pressure. All right, you make an arrest, you put it out there. You know, I do a press conference. All right, and you know, Officer Joe Smith has been arrested for X, Y, and Z, and then I put it in a grand jury. And the grand jurors look at me and say, you know, Mr. Flynn, what are you doing here? There's no proof here. There's no evidence here. And now I got to dismiss the case. I mean, you know, you talk about having your egg on your face then. That's the last thing you want to do. Because, one, you know, it makes me look bad. But more importantly to me, look bad. I really don't care about how I look. But more importantly, you know, you've now put an Officer Joe Smith's name out there as being a criminal and being arrested, and the charges were dismissed. So that there's a lot of problems with rushing a judgment.
We're speaking with Erie County District Attorney John Flynn. John, throughout the country, we've seen videos, especially Saturday evening and into Saturday night, of police escalating the situation, mostly in response to protesters who were antagonizing police. We see the police response, and that goes and really turns what is, you know, that small tinder into a literal burning fire in some spots. We didn't see that here in Buffalo. What can you say about the actions of police on Saturday night in the face of, you know, really angry people?
Well, I credit totally the professionalism that they displayed. I mean, you know, the Buffalo Police Department was, they were instructed that, hey, listen here, let the protesters peacefully demonstrate and don't escalate the situation. And they didn't. And it wasn't just the Buffalo Police Department. You know, their, you know, Tonawanda Police Department came down and helped out on Saturday night. You know, Amherst came down and helped out. You know, one of the 10 arrests that occurred on Saturday night, the Amherst Police Department actually, you know, made the arrest and did the initial paperwork, which occurred in the jurisdiction of the city of Buffalo, and then turned their individual over to BPD. So, you know, it was a Buffalo Police Department, it was Amherst, it was Tonawanda, it was the state police, it was our federal partners. It was a total team effort and a total professional team effort that we didn't have the situations that, you know, are playing out across the country. In addition to that, Brian, not only was the job done great on Saturday night, but, you know, I credit the mayor and the county executive yesterday, you know, coming out on Saturday afternoon and talking about what happened on Saturday night, and saying to people, listen here, please don't come out tonight. Please abide by the curfew and stay home, and we can avoid what happened on Saturday night. You know, they did that yesterday on Sunday afternoon, and I think it worked. And you know, and I tried to do that yesterday at my press conference. I mean, you know, someone asked me the question about how do you treat these protesters, and, you know, are you going to be aggressive in your prosecution? And listen here, I mean, you know me, I'm definitely aggressive, but I wanted to be careful where I didn't want to get in the podium there yesterday and play tough guy, you know, and say, oh yeah, I'm going to go after everyone, I'm going to lock them all up, because, you know, that would just incite more people to behave badly. So again, you got to be careful with your words here, and, you know, you got to express the appropriate firmness and toughness, but on the other hand, you don't want to incite people and take this back to, you know, my schoolyard days, you know, back when I was in, you know, middle school, where if some guy in the school playground was talking smack, you know, the first thing I wanted to do was, you know, go fight him. All right, you know, you don't want to do that. So you want to tone it down. You want to make sure that you're being firm, but you're being fair, and you're not inciting anyone. And definitely, the Buffalo Police Department did that, you know, totally professionally for the past weekend.
That's a fine line to walk. John, thanks so much again for the time. That's Erie County District Attorney John Flynn joining us on WBEM Buffalo.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.